My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time for today's travel and cruise industry news. With the latest from travel and cruises around the world, here's your host, Chili Falls.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Travel and Cruise Industry News Podcast. On today? Today's the 28th day of March. Good heavens. Shot this one in the foot, haven't we? We've got several news stories this morning and a special guest, so we've got a full show today. The news stories, the lead story when we get to it, is going to be world's most expensive cruise. Also today, we're going to discuss celebrity increases perks, Carnival changes itineraries for three ships, top hat ceremony held at the Port of Toronto, a new terminal in Panama, American Queen Voyages auction, and lots more here at 11 o'clock this morning. Today, folks, is National Black Forest Cake Day. I can deal with that. You know, that's I like some black. Two things that I enjoy in the way of cake. I enjoy a good carrot cake, and I enjoy a Black Forest cake. And both of them you can normally find on a cruise ship. So, yes, I do find them if they're available. Morning, Mike and Gary and Hot Air Tom. Good to see all you guys. If you're listening via the podcast, you can always access the podcast via my blog, which is accessadventure.net, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search for Travel and Cruise Industry News, and up pops the Fat Travel Guy. If you are listening to the podcast and ever want to jump over to the video feed, you can always go to the description of the podcast, and there'll be a link so you can do just that. All right, guys. The title of today's interview, today's chat, is Beginner to Competent Sailor. My special guest today is John Inslee of Cruise and Learn Sailing International. His mantra, a day sailing is 100 times better than a day at work. He splits his time between the Sea of Cortez and La Paz in Mexico and the Puget Sound in Washington. Sailing from the age of 11, he's the owner and founder of Cruise and Learn Sailing International and serves as a sailing school director for a sailing school in La Paz. He's also a chartered financial consultant and has operated a virtual location independent financial planning practice since 2012. John has a varied background and experience that includes dad, granddad, U.S. Army Airborne Infantry. He's an entrepreneur, financial planner, a bakery owner, and a lifestyle designer. I'm not sure how he does all of that. But anyway, here's John Inslee. Good morning is John Inslee of, let me see if I get it right, Cruise and Learn Sailing International. John, welcome to the Travel and Cruise Industry News Podcast.
Chili, thanks so much for having me here. I'm super excited.
All right. It's hard for me to admit this, but You've been sailing a long time. I've actually been cruising longer than you have been sailing. However, you started at a very young age and I didn't. So I'm considerably older than you are. You were 11 years old when you started sailing. Tell me about that.
Well, so I went to summer camp, right? My folks, when we were growing up, they sent us to a church-based summer camp every summer, pretty much. And so the year I was 11, I decided sailing was my focus for the week. And so I went to Big Lake Youth Camp and spent the whole week sailing little sunfish and a couple other little sailboats around Big Lake.
Nice. And that was in 1980. I actually started sailing in cruising in 1978.
Okay.
I was like 32 then, and you were 11.
So, right.
Okay, so you live half the year and sail up around Puget Sound, one of my mm-hmm. favorite spots in the world. And then you head down to the Sea of Cortez and those environs and sail the rest of the year.
How did
that come about?
Well, so that's a bit of a story. I'll do the short version. How about that? So I learned to sail and kind of had some career change things going on around the same time in the early to mid 2000 range. And 2000s, so 2004, 2005, et cetera. And as a result of all that, I made a career change in 2012 that made me virtual. So I have a financial planning practice, I'm 100% virtual, and I've been virtual at that since before virtual was cool, right? And so that gave me the ability to basically go anywhere I wanted to go. And so by then I'd been sailing for quite a few years. And so I also got instructor certifications to start teaching sailing because I've been sailing a decade or so by then and or close to that. And so I was looking for where do I want to go, right? I have these two things that are my passions that I'm going to do and I can kind of be anywhere. So I looked at all kinds of places, Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Panama, all sorts of places. And I had sailed through La Paz, Mexico, a number of times here in the Sea of Cortez. And I just kind of kept coming back to it because it seemed to check a lot of boxes, right? We had good connectivity and internet, good phone service, beautiful sailing grounds, excellent sailing conditions. It's a short hop, a quick, easy flight back to the States if I needed to be back up in the U.S. for something during the winter months. And so, I just settled on La Paz and reached out and happened to meet a guy who today is a very good friend of mine who has a sailing school here in La Paz. And so we connected. I came down for a season and did a little teaching and ran my financial practice. And I just keep coming back. It's been 8 years ago now that, since I started coming down here, seasonally full time.
I'm at the point in my life where I'm seriously considering moving away from, I'm in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the time's coming where, I could get closer to water, which I'd like to do, and a much warmer climate than I'm in now. Mm-hmm. And Mexico is right up at the top of my list of places that I'm just liable to end up in the next 3 or 4 years. All right, so now your school is Cruise and Learn, which is Cruise-letter-N-learn, mm-hmm. which obviously
correct.
Cruise and Learn was probably used up, so you did it the easy way. And then, of course, Sailing International. Now,
yep.
How does that differ from Joe Blow's sailing school and Pensacola?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy to explain that. So Cruise and Learn Sailing International was really born out of my experience as a sailing instructor. I've been the sailing school director, still am, for the school here in La Paz, Mexico. and I've taught for a number of other sailing schools over the last 8 to 8 years or so. And so most people are familiar with and they pursue American Sailing Certifications, ASA, is formerly known as ASA. And that, those are the courses that I have taught and currently still do teach. And so the Cruise and Learn Sailing International was born out of kind of some, oh, we'll call them deficiencies that I've noticed over the years with some of the other certification programs. And so what we're trying to do is create a program that kind of addresses some of those problems. So, you know, like we would get to, a lot of people will come down here to Mexico, for instance, and they'll take a 1 week sailing certification program where they get 3 or 4 ASA certifications in a week. And what would happen quite often is while we were covering all the material and they were passing written tests and so forth, students would share with me at the end of their class that they still just didn't feel very confident that they actually had the skills after just a week, you know, to go out and charter a boat or buy a boat and have their family aboard and feel safe and those kinds of things. And that's true, right? There's no way we can give you expertise in a week, even though we can give you quite a bit of knowledge in a week. We can't give you that experience. So we created Cruise and Learn Sailing as a way to kind of address that. And one of the ways we've addressed that is we've partnered with an organization called Nautic Ed. And Nautic Ed is another sailing certification platform that where you can earn your sailing certifications. But the way it's set up, it was very conducive to what we're calling our sailing immersion program, which is a 12 months program that's subscription based. It still has that 1 week adventure, right? Because that's a real pull. People want that, and they should. It's a great immersive experience. But now we're able to take this training and spread it out using the Nautic Ed platform, which is this really amazing state-of-the-art multimedia online knowledge and theory training that you complete before you ever come on the 1 week trip. And then on the 1 week trip, we're just focused on having an amazing cruising experience, right? We're sailing around these beautiful cruising grounds. You're practicing and getting that experience and all those skills that you've been learning about. And then we also, at the end of that week, we're going to do the assessments for your actual certifications. So it's a different approach to what a lot of people are familiar with, but I think it's going to instill a lot more confidence. And at the end of the day, it's going to create more competent sailors and skippers. And that's what my passion is that, you know, sailing this, sharing this amazing lifestyle and this amazing skill set with people, but I want them to go away confident and competent so that they can be safe and have a heck of a lot of fun for the rest of their lives with their family and friends out on the water.
My concept, again, from total lack of experience, but I'm disabled as well. That pretty much rules me out of sailing, doesn't it?
So, you know, I wouldn't say it rules you out. But the program would have to be pretty customized for you and your specific situation, right? Safety obviously is top of the list. Moving around a sailboat certainly has its dangers or risks. And so depending on the disability someone has and their ability to move around a moving and pitching sailboat definitely comes into play. But I don't know that I would just carte blanche say it rules anybody out, right? It just depends on the circumstances.
Where, of course, I realize now I'm sure you sail around up in Washington area.
Yes, summers up in the Pacific Northwest and winters here in Mexico.
And I know about the Sea of Cortez. Where else do you like to sail?
So I've sailed in Belize, I've sailed in the British Virgin Islands, I've sailed a number of different places. People ask me all the time, right, what's your favorite cruising ground? And it's really hard to answer. The Pacific Northwest, the San Juan Islands in Washington State, and then just across the Canadian border, the Gulf Islands in Canada, are just spectacular scenery, cool little villages, great sailing, great wind conditions quite often. So that is just an amazing place. The downsides in the Pacific Northwest is the water's cold. right? In the middle of summer, it probably won't get to 60 degrees. So so there's no swimming, snorkeling, right? That kind of thing, you pretty much don't get in the water. And so the Sea of Cortez, we come down here to Mexico, the water's warm. So we have still some amazing scenery with the desert landscape and all this water in the Sea of Cortez, these beautiful, white gold sand beaches, and we're able to snorkel and swim and paddle and kite and do all the things on the water. So I really can't decide, honestly. That's why I just flip back and forth between the two. So, I would say those two are my favorites, but there's still a few places in the world I haven't sailed that I'm sure I will. And so, I'll keep you posted.
Okay. What's the difference between cruising and sailing?
So think of it this way. Sailing, we jump on a boat, we go out for a day, and we sail around a local body of water. Sailing is the activity of actually maneuvering a boat, shifting sails, adjusting sails, doing these kinds of things. Cruising encompasses everything that sailing encompasses, but now we're actually having an experience that goes beyond that. So we're visiting distant places, right? It could be the next town up that takes us a day or more to get there, or it could be across an ocean in a whole another country and land. So cruising encompasses sailing, but cruising is that, I describe it as a lifestyle. It's kind of a way of life that embraces freedom and kind of living in tune with nature and the tides and the light and dark and all of these things, as well as encompassing new experiences, new people, new cultures, new places. So it's a much more broad thing than sailing.
When you're cruising, you put into port much like I do on a cruise ship, going into a port of call, only into a much smaller area.
Yeah, you can go into ports. I think the cruising part on a sailboat that's different is we're also just going into anchorages, right? Where we go into the ports of call. Maybe we're up in the San Juan Islands in Washington, and we go into Friday Harbor, and we get a slip at a dock for a day or two, and we check out Friday Harbor. But we're also going to go into these quiet little coves and drop an anchor, and we may hang out there just on the anchor for a day or five, whatever we feel like doing, right? And so I think that's the other part of it, is there's a much more pristine or natural part of some of these anchorages. Some of them are very remote. You're pretty much by yourself, or maybe one or two other boats in the anchorage. And so there's that very up close and personal experience too on a sailboat.
How many, when you're out sailing, how many people are you normally with? Or, I mean, I know you teach people, so there's got to be more than just you on the boat. But on a normal thing, how many people would be with you?
So it's very common for just my wife and I to be on the boat. Be two of us. I have done a lot of single handing over my sailing journey, where I'm by myself. I don't prefer that. It's a lot more fun to share it with somebody, right? So pretty common for it to be my wife and I. We'll bring our kids or grandkids along as well. So we might have anywhere from two to six of us on the boat, depending on the size of the boat. It starts to be a crowd with more than that. In classes, we run our classes with a minimum of three students and a maximum of six students. And a typical class is probably about four students and the instructor, which could be me or another instructor.
Realizing that to get into this, you're looking at a multi-time period endeavor. Let's put it that way. But you could take, let's assume that I wasn't disabled. You could take a complete landlubber like me, a big fat guy, and starting from ground zero, you could actually have me sailing on down the road a little while.
Absolutely. So that's what our programs are all about, is to take that person who maybe has never stepped foot on a sailboat and take them from beginner to competence, right? And so our immersion program is designed to do that, where you start out with the Nautic Ed platform. So you're going to take some online courses. We're actually going to get you into virtual reality and do some sail training in virtual reality. We have a program for that, which is absolutely amazing. You wouldn't think that's possible, but it's amazing what you can do in virtual reality. And so that Nautic Ed platform is going to give you the beginnings of your knowledge, your sail theory, and identifying parts of the boat and right, some of that kind of thing. And then we're going to offer some opportunity in our local waters for you to come out and actually get on the boat for the first time, right? And so we have boats that we own. We have local sailing clubs that we associate with, as well as some private boat owners for networking and whatnot. And so our goal is to get you out on the water, out on a boat, doing some sailing. That first time you might just really be a passenger, right? Just checking it all out and correlating what you've learned in the online courses with what you're now seeing on the water. And so it's a 12-month program. And over that 12 months, our intent is to get you from beginner to a level of competence and actually having some certifications and having a number of days on the water and, you know, moving towards constantly building your skills. And so that's exactly kind of what it's designed to do.
Earlier in my life, I assumed, and this was, I hate that word for a lot of reasons, I was assuming that to get into sailing, one had to be very wealthy. Until my brother-in-law comes along, my brother-in-law is 14 years older than I am, so, I mean, he's up there now. But he sailed for years, and he was never wealthy. So how expensive of a proposition is getting into sailing?
So there's no question there's some cost involved, but it's not, I don't think it's really outside the limits of any other type of activity that you can get into, right? Some people are into, I spoke with a guy the other day, his thing is ballooning, hot air ballooning. Right. And there's a whole set of costs with that, a whole set of costs with aviators. There's a whole set of costs with people that are into motorcycles, or road bikes, or road touring, or RVing, or all of these things have costs. Horses, right? You know, a lot of people who are into horses, and horses are expensive. So expensive, though, is a relative term, right? It something you're passionate about doesn't seem to be as expensive as things you're not passionate about seeing, right? So if somebody's really passionate about it, that's the first thing. But yes, there is some cost. And that's the other piece of our program, is we've really tried to make this as accessible and affordable as possible. And that's why we went with a subscription-based model for the immersion program, where for a low monthly payment over that 12 months, you know, what we did is we said, okay, how much do people spend to take these one-week courses? And so if we include the one-week course, they're getting everything they would get with a one-week course, but now we're adding all this extra value over a 12-month period, so they get a better experience and they get more competence as a result of it for about the same cost. But then we just take that and split it up into 12 payments. It suddenly makes it pretty affordable and pretty accessible to you know, just about anybody to start sailing.
Yeah, that's just awesome. All right, my guest this morning, of course, is John Inslee. I just find this fascinating. How many days a year do you stay on the water?
Well, it's a lot. You know, I'm pretty much through the summer. We're up basically from, I'll say, May through September, up in the Puget Sound, San Juan Islands, Canadian Gulf Islands. We're out most weeks during that period of time. We get a little break, I would say, September into October, because the sailing season really doesn't kick off south of the hurricane zone until November 1st. So from November through about April, we're here in Mexico or other places, right? We're teaching a class at the beginning of June in the Bahamas, for instance. So we do go of places. And so, you know, between April and between May and September, we're pretty busy through the summer. And then we get a little break. And then from November through April, we're pretty busy in the seasons in the warm places. And so I'd say we maybe get a little break in April into May here and there. So it's quite a few days. I don't know how to put a number on it. 20 weeks plus a year on the water.
Well, my best year of cruising was I did 123 days.
Ah, yes.
My best year, which wasn't bad. I have managed in the last 24 months to do 43 cruises. So.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so that's a lot of on the water.
I stay gone more than I'm home, which I like it that way.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, same well, John, here.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say we have a home in Washington that we see every once in a while.
Well, I've got a farm in Virginia, and I can't do anything anymore. So, I mean, I used to mow 8 acres. That was, I get out on my John Deere and as close to naked as possible and mow and mow and mow. And I get hot, I go jump in my pool. I get back on the John Deere and mow and mow. And that's about all I did all summer. So and now I can't do that anymore. Yeah, unfortunately, I also am a full-time oxygen user. When I'm sitting still like this, I'm okay. But if I try to stand up or something, I got to have this puppy going.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like going on cruises is the perfect fit for you then.
It does. I mean, I can get around in a wheelchair on a ship, most ships. Some of them are not as accessible as others, but right. It gives me a chance to study the ships and to work with the cruise lines on making them more accessible. I host some cruises. I've just recently started a cruise with Chile website. Sponsoring some cruises now and selling some cruises. So, yeah, I love it.
I love that you are finding a way to pursue your passion and your dream, regardless of the challenges, right?
Yeah, and I've got proof. I hope to prove to other people that don't sit at home and feel sorry for yourself. Get off your butt and go do something, whatever it is, whatever your passion is, do it. There's ways of getting anything done. So,
for sure.
John Inslee's been my guest this morning, folks. I'm so glad to have learned a little bit about sailing and, of course, your company. And there'll be a link to John's website and so forth down in the description of the video today. Well, John, I hate to do this, but I have to go do some news now.
All right. Well, I'll let you get to it. Thanks for having me, Chili. I really appreciate it.
Okay, John, thank you so much. And we'll do this again.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. See ya. And that, of course, was John Inslee. I actually interviewed him yesterday afternoon. I tell you what, folks, I know there would be some challenges, but if I could get where he is on a sailboat and I could park my chair someplace, because I can do, a few steps, carry my oxygen with me, I'd get on a sailboat and try that. As long as I had someplace I could sit. I mean, I can't do it the whole time standing up and stuff, but I could move around some. I would do that in a heartbeat. So, but then that's me. Okay, I got a whole bunch of other stuff here we got to cover this morning. I really enjoyed that. By the way, John's website is cruiseinlearnsailing.com. All right, so after yesterday, I actually had a couple people that contacted me and said, man, when you flashed up the cow, we didn't really get to see it. We didn't, you just held the phone up and took a quick shot of it. We couldn't really tell what it was. So what is that? Okay. So this is the newest artwork on the wall. And the main cow there, that's Coco the cow, who goes along and is friends with Brat the cat and Max the dog and Tina Turtle. Now, on Coco the cow's left, that's Cece the cow. And on Coco's right is Myrtle. So that's the cows that's on the wall behind me. All right, I'll be back with a couple more things after a quick break from one of our network sponsors.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Okay, the top story this morning, folks, is the most expensive cruise in the world. I love it. Hot Air Tom, you need to pay us attention to this. Ultra Lux Cruise Line Regent Seven Seas Cruises took the wraps off what is the most expensive world cruise ever in 2027, a 140-day Splendor voyage on board Seven Seas Splendor. The all-inclusive cruise will sail three oceans, visit 40 countries, and six continents. And if you notice there, Hot Air Tom, in the suite, which I'm going to get to in a second, is a grand piano. However, they throw you off the boat, Hot Air Tom, if you sit down and play chopsticks. Regent Seven Seas Cruises is reaching out to the world's most affluent travelers. That's you, Hot Air Tom. And adventure seekers with a 2027 world cruise that begins in Miami and ends in New York and explores fascinating destinations as it sails more than 35,000 nautical miles. Seven Seas Splendor will call its 71 ports overnight at 14 ports and feature custom-designed shoreside cultural experience. The voyage also comes with cruise fare that are perhaps the world's highest. Guests booking one of the ship's veranda suites. Now, that's not this one, Hot Air Tom. Just the little cheapy thing, the veranda suite. It will cost $91,499 per person or $183,000 per couple. But those fares pale in comparison to the ship's top accommodation, the Regent Suite, with its 4,400 square feet of living space on deck 14 and sweeping views over the ship's bow from a wraparound deck. For the privileged few able to book the palatial and lavishly appointed Regent Suite, that would be you, Hot Air Tom, the cost is $839,000 per person. That's $6,000 per night for two guests sharing the suite. That'd be you and Cindy, Hot Air Tom. The cruise fare would be $1.7 million. Holy cow! 126-day segment from Miami to Rome offers fares from $84,000 per guest to $755,000 per guest in the Regent Suite. The World Cruise Fare covers all expenses, plus a one-night cruise hotel stay in Miami. Well, I mean, hell, I ought to buy this hotel for you for that, along with a pre-cruise gala event. amenities and services covered by the fares include door-to-door service, airfare, 486 shore excursions, all food and premium beverages at lounges in the non-dining venues, 24-hour in-suite dining, Wi-Fi, laundry, valet service, and more. Those who book the opulent Regent Suite will enjoy the services of a dedicated butler, a personal car and driver in every port, a $200,000 bed, a glass enclosed solarium, a personal sauna, steam room, and jacuzzi, and all while gazing at original artwork on the walls, including a Picasso. Wow. That's a little better than my inside rooms that I get on many of my cruises. That's the world's most expensive cruise. I'm sure Hot Air. I'm holding one of those suites for you. All you got to do is call me, and we can go on and get the booking done for you. Just pick up the phone and call Hot Air Tom. I'll be happy to book it for you. Boy, would I be happy to book it for you. So, all right. Before we get to the rest of the news here this morning, love this picture. She does such a good job of having pictures taken of her. That, of course, is Sylvia. She's out on her Will C2 power chair. This is from Tampa. She was in Tampa yesterday. And, of course, it's winding down, folks. We're getting right to the end of the Will power chair / scooter round spring celebration. All month long, and that's until the 31st. You got a couple more days. If you purchase a Model F, now that's the lightweight one. It's a fold-up chair, can go in the trunk of the car, or a Model C2 like I use because I'm a big fat guy. Sylvia uses because of her disabilities, but it's a heavy, substantial chair. I feel very comfortable in mine. Of course, I know Sylvia does in hers as well. She's had it for several years now. I'm still working on my first year with the C2. But anyway, if you purchase either one of them during the month, you'll get $250 to use toward accessories. The offer is valid until March 31st. Now, if you should go to the Scootaround store website, or call them on the toll-free number. When you talk to them, use the code CHILLIE, CHILLIE. Just tell them code CHILLIE. They'll know who that is and what it's for. You'll not only get a discount on the chair, you'll also get the $250 for the accessories. That's on the Will Power Chair Scootaround Spring Celebration Sale here for 2024. Okay, let's see. What did I have anything else this morning? I got to go back and look. Oh, there is one thing else that I wanted to point out today. You know, we talked quite a bit with Jason from Pittsburgh, Jason yesterday. I did some checking on the cruise. Now it's still. Technically, it's not officially sailing from Norfolk, but I'm sure it's going to. But that's quite a bargain on the cruise that Jason is on, assuming it sails from Norfolk. Now, it's still showing sailing from Baltimore. We know that's not going to happen. It's a 13-day, 12-night transatlantic cruise, folks. The fare starts at $395 for an inside, $541 for an ocean view. Now, then you got to add a couple $100 of taxes and port charges on that. And then if you want a drinks package or any of the extra things, that's extra. But that's a 13-day cruise starting at $395. I mean, that's like, what's that, $30 a day? Wow. So and you end up in Barcelona. Yeah, you got to travel back home or catch another ship coming this way. But yeah, that's pretty substantial. All right, so let's get to some news now. I wanted to cover that. If I have time, folks, I'm going to talk a little bit about the upcoming cruise ship, Dr. Cruise. But let's get the news out of the way first, since I've taken quite a bit of time here this morning. The next story today, folks, comes from our friends at Celebrity. You know, they've added some perks for their Zenith members. I don't know what Zenith members are, but I think I need to start sailing Celebrity and try to get to Zenith level. All right. Zenith members are those who have earned 3,000 or more points sailing on Celebrity cruise ships. Now, I have no idea what it takes to get a point. I mean, like on Norwegian, it's a point a day, I think, or something like that. I'm sure that's not 3,000 days at sea. My goodness. But anyway, 3,000 points, however you do that on Celebrity ships. Celebrity Cruises' highest loyalty tier. The cruise line has added new perks and exclusive cruise fares for the guests. Zenith members who booked the retreat will now be able to access cruise-only rates. That means you're getting the retreat suite for a cruise-only rate. That's pretty a big discount. The onboard experience will remain the same as Zenith guests already receive. Premium beverages and Wi-Fi with their loyalty benefit. So you get up to that, you got the premium beverage package and Wi-Fi. My goodness, what else do I need on a ship? Nothing. Celebrity says that they made the change due to the feedback from their most loyal cruisers. To me, folks, that sounds pretty awesome. And yes, Celebrity is a little more expensive, but it's not like, you know, like a Regent of the Seas, you know, one of those. I mean, those are, to me, are really expensive. Sail them in a heartbeat. If I could, I keep trying to find them to somebody who let me go on one of their cruises so I can broadcast. Haven't found one yet. Keep trying. All right. Next story today, folks, comes from our friends over at Carnival. Carnival Cruise Line is adjusting the sailing itineraries for three of their ships, necessitating changes of various sail dates in 24 and 25. Aboard Carnival Sunshine, Carnival Venezia, and the Mardi Gras, the changes affect three Carnival Sunshine sailings, three Venezia sailings, one Mardi Gras sailing. Carnival did not give any reason for the changes, simply writing to passengers, "Thank you for your understanding." Well, what if you don't understand it and you don't like the changes? You're SOL. And I won't say online during a live broadcast what that means. But think about it, folks. SOL, out of luck, whatever. The first affected journey is with Carnival Sunshine, departing from Miami on October 19th this year. Replace Half Moon Key with Princess Key. Well, that's not too bad. Additionally, the 3,000-passenger Carnival Sunshine changed the days visiting Bimini and Freeport with modified port times. This affects the 2025 round-trip Miami cruises to the Bahamas, the Eastern Caribbean, and the Western Caribbean scheduled for May 11th, May 25th, June 8th, and June 22nd. So if you're on any of those, get with your provider, your travel provider, or the cruise line. Find out what they're doing. The itinerary adjustment necessitated revised port times to accommodate the altered distances between the destinations. They're getting really tight on that now, folks. They're figuring out the exact mileage and trying to save costs. The ship will also see changes to the dates it visits Nassau, Bimini, and Celebration Key during Carnival Sunshine, September 28th of 2025 sailing. Carnival Venezia, which debuted in June of 23, Passengers sailing in 2025 from Port Canaveral will find modifications to itineraries for its February 2nd, March 16th, and April 13th sailings in 2025. February Carnival Venezia has adjusted the days it visits Grand Turk and San Juan with modified port times. It has also replaced its call on St. Thomas and the U.S. Virgin Islands with a visit to St. Croix, adjusting the port times and dates. Passengers aboard the March 16th sailing will find an originally scheduled visit to Grand Turk has been replaced with a call to Amber Cove. This change also affects port times. San Juan's time in port has also been adjusted due to the change in distance. For the April sailing, Venezia has reversed the order of port visits and modified port times. Instead of sailing first to Grand Turk, San Juan, and then St. Thomas on its round trip from Port Canaveral, it will call first on St. Thomas. The seven-day Eastern Caribbean cruise from Port Canaveral aboard Mardi Gras will also see the itinerary reversed on its February 15th voyage. Originally scheduled to sail first to Grand Turk, Amber Cove, and Nassau on its round-trip journey, it will now lead with Nassau. Also from Carnival, this is a different story. After much anticipation, Carnival Cruise Line has released its digital debark program across the entire fleet. We talked about this once before when they first started testing it. The release comes after successful trial and positive guest feedback on select ships. Available via the Carnival Hub app, digital debark enables passengers to schedule their debarkation time, reducing crowds and wait times on the final morning of the cruise. It also provides passengers with more control over when they choose to leave the ship. Congratulations to Carnival. I hate the changes in ports and all that business, because I think the cruise lines, when they come up with something, they should stick with it. But that's me. But congratulations to Carnival on the debarkation deal. I'll be using that at the end of the month. That's actually in the first of next month. No, it's not. I get back on before the end of the month, I think. Anyway, I'm sailing on Carnival Elation out of Jacksonville on the 25th. All right. Top hat time in Toronto. Every spring, the Port of Toronto commemorates the beginning of the commercial shipping season by temporarily gifting the captain of the first international ship to arrive with a vintage top hat, which comes with 24 hours of special privileges. The shipping season opens just in time for the port's busy cruise season to begin. MV Wigeon, a bulk cargo ship measuring 199.9 meters in length, that's about 656 feet, folks, sailed a 30-day voyage from Recife, Brazil, to be the first shipping vessel of the season to arrive in Toronto. To commemorate her arrival, the ship's captain, Sergei Kobielashiny, how about that one, folks, was honored in a traditional top hat ceremony on March 27, 2024, which is held annually. Port Toronto. Now, look, you have to look at this, folks. They don't show the top hat in this picture. The gentleman in the middle is the captain. You know, he has a captain shirt on and blue jeans. And they put a top hat on this guy, and he has no idea what's going on, probably. I thought it was funny. Anyway, congratulations, Toronto. And the cruise season starts up there like next week, so. I mean, this goes, you know, pretty much back to back, and then they start in on the season. So, good for Toronto. All right, Panama. This has been controversial and has been quite a long time coming. But Panama inaugurated a new cruise ship terminal at the mouth of the drought-hit Panama Canal, hoping to attract more tourists to the Central American nation. The facility in Panama City was built by a consortium led by China Harbor Engineering Company, with an investment of more than $200 million, according to President Laurentino Cortizo. The cruise terminal will generate new tourist routes, attracting more visitors to our country, Cortizo said at the opening ceremony. The terminal, which will be able to receive two cruise ships at a time, is the first on Panama's Pacific coast. Another operates on the Caribbean in the Caribbean city of Colón. The opening comes as authorities confront record low water levels that have limited the number of ships able to transit through the Panama Canal, which usually handles about 6% of global maritime trade. And folks, I hate to say this, but I'm still worried about the cruise season traveling through the canal, if that's not going to get affected, because the draft on a cruise ship is deeper than on many of the cargo ships. And I'm just not sure with the water levels down that low, they're going to be able to get through there. But that's my thinking. Okay, this is the other story today, folks, that has to deal with Hot Air Tom. The American Queen Voyages bankruptcy auction will be held this afternoon. Bids were due earlier in the week, and Chile Cruises has learned there are multiple bidders, including several existing cruise lines. The bankruptcy court can sell the whole lot or break it up into pieces. Hopefully, the answer will be revealed today. Now, Chile Cruises has also learned that Hot Air Tom submitted, and I don't know if Cindy knew about this or not, so Cindy, don't listen if you didn't know about it. Hot Air Tom submitted a bid on Tuesday for $2.74, and I understand that his bid has been successful, and he will receive one stale candy bar and three used towels. That's it for the news this morning, folks. Let's go over to the chat room and see who is fussing at me today. All right. Let's see. Mike, Gary, Hot Air Tom, happy 32nd anniversary. Wow. Congratulations, Tom and Cindy. Excuse me. My voice is giving out. Chili giving us an anniversary gift on that expensive cruise. I'll sell it to you, Hot Air Tom. I want the commission. That's what I want. Bob's with me. Boy, that would set me up forever if I sold one of those. Good heavens. And Bob's with us. Good morning, Bob. Kenneth's with us up in Pennsylvania. There's Joanne. Hi, Joanne. Sonny's with us down Mississippi. There's Elizabeth. Buena dias, Chili and the gang. Hoping my iPod and phone don't overheat before the show ends. That's hot here. Yeah, I hear you. All right, Hot Air, because you say you don't see that. I see that. Mohammed Laman Darboi says hi. Not sure. Emily's with us, says good morning, everybody. Very overcast day up there in New York. Happy anniversary to Tom and Cindy. She was on a sailboat tonight, 2019, on her NCL trip. They gave us free OJ and champagne. Todd's with us. Good morning, everybody. What a great interview, Chili. Thank you, Todd. Emily agrees with him, says it is. Elizabeth gives us a thumbs up. I wonder what VR equipment he uses. I have VR as well. It's pretty cool. What does VR stand for? Should I know that? I don't know. I have done a few 11-month contract at sea before. That's a long time to be at sea. That's a little different situation, Elizabeth. You're there all the time. I'm not. I mean, I'd like to be. I could do 11 months without even thinking twice. I mean, that's how much I like to be on a ship. Yeah, I can go ashore when we stop and things. But yeah, it wouldn't bother me in the least. Sonny says, thanks, John. Great interview. Thank you, Sonny. Hot Air says, I only know Mary had a little lamb. Okay. Chili can come along to play the piano. Yeah, right. I'll sit down with a little Prelude in C-sharp minor by Rachmaninoff. How's that, Hot Air Tom? I thought that the round building looked familiar. I said Tampa a second before you confirmed where Sylvia was. Yeah, she was there last night and went to a hockey game, one of the museums, and she was celebrating, you know, her getting a part on the TV show. So she stayed in a hotel there in Tampa in a real expensive restaurant and just had a celebration night. So congratulations to Sylvia on that. I can't wait to see the TV show when she gets into that. Sonny says to remind everybody, hit the thumbs up. Thank you, Sonny. Linda Taylor says, hello. Lula Phoenix. Lula Phoenix says, hi. And good morning. Oh, VR is virtual reality. Ah, duh. Yes, I should know that. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what he uses. That's a good question. The other thing, the next time I talk to him, I want to talk to his wife, too. Does she like sailing as much as he does? I mean, she spends a lot of time with him on a sailboat, so she must. But then we're going to have to bring her into on the interview here to see if that's equal footing. I enjoyed that, and I'll see about getting his wife on next time with him to make sure he's telling us straight. I enjoyed that immensely. And if any guys are interested in sailing or learning to sail, man, this is the guy to see. So, all right, guys, that's going to wrap me up for today. Tomorrow is Friday. So, and it is, tomorrow's Good Friday. I'm going to do the show like normal. Of course, it is Easter weekend. So I hope all of you guys are planning a nice holiday weekend. I am probably not going anywhere, staying here, because the following week I'm going to Ohio and hope we get good weather for the eclipse. And then I get home and have to get ready to go on the next cruise. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for today, guys. As always, thanks for being with me. Don't forget, smash that thumbs up button. If you haven't subscribed, please take this as my invitation to subscribe. The bell doesn't cost you anything. The bell notification tells you when I go live or when a new video is up. I'm trying to get one or two videos posted every day. So it'll tell you when they're up in case you want to watch them. All right. That's going to wrap it up for today. As always, folks, stay safe, stay healthy. Think about cruising and sailing. And hopefully one day soon, we'll all get together on the high seas. Have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.
I regularly post videos on all facets of the travel and cruise industry. So if you like to keep up with the latest in cruise ships, ports of call, cruises themselves, Chili Chats, and travel and cruise industry news, just hit the little subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner. Hit the bell notification so you'll be notified when a new video is up or we go live. This video was produced by Chili's Cruises.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.